This is CliffCentral.com.
Mariam Jamais is here with me. She is an award-winning Senegalese-British technologist. She was telling me about the virtues of coding from stage earlier, where she addressed all the people at the BCX Summit at Kyalami in South Africa. Is it your first time here, Mariam?
Yes. No, not the first time in South Africa, but for this summit, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay, very good. What have you been here for before?
I've been here for the World Economic Forum, but also for the Climate Change Summit in Durban. We just have 100 girls who are going to start our programs here in South Africa.
That is your abiding passion, and I remember you ended your talk by saying that you can't do this on your own, that empowering young girls and giving them a place to thrive in technology is something that you feel very strongly about. How did it begin for you? Your backstory is fascinating to me, and I thought for our listeners to just get an idea of where your life started in Senegal and how your life started would be tremendously interesting. Do you want to give us a quick background?
Absolutely. I mean, it has been a very challenging childhood for me and my twin brother. Senegal is West Africa, you know, very small country, French colony. And so, unfortunately, my mother abandoned us as children. And so, you know, at the age of 13, I was trafficked as a young girl from Senegal to Paris. And so my twin brother was behind. And so now he's in Germany. You know, he's an asylum seeker in Germany. So extremely difficult life. We didn't really have to be in Europe. You know, my mother come from this aristocrat family in Senegal. But, you know, the social issues and really made her do what she did. And so that really led us to end up in Europe in very difficult conditions.
You also started by saying when you were telling this story that you don't let your background define you.
No. I mean, it's because I think, you know, where I am today, I'm extremely grateful to be where I am today. And I think that, you know, it has been a challenging childhood. You know, we can't definitely, you know, take that off. But I think we also need to think about, you know, the pain we suffered as children and use that energy to tell the world, you know, it's your responsibility to make a difference, you know, around the world.
Now, you put up a picture of you and your brother when you were at an orphanage in Senegal before you were separated and you went off to Europe. And it was a very emotive moment in your talk, but it also, to me, illustrated just how, at that age and that stage of your life, there was no way you could have predicted that you would have seen the people that you'd seen, met the people you've met, spoken to the people you've spoken to, and had the experiences that your life brought you after that. It must have been just a bridge too far for a young girl like that to ever have imagined the sort of future that you've now inhabited.
You know, I was asked this question by a journalist, and I think sometimes I see my life as a, I don't know what it is, but I'm just all overwhelmed and grateful because when I was at the tube station in Paris, you know, before the police picked me up, you know, during their raid in Paris, I always thought that life will get better, but I never knew that it will be like this. I think it's through tenacity, through positivity, but also going and making a change. It's our responsibility as people to make a change. And today I'm here as a young global leader from the World Economic Forum, and all these accolades, it just justify, it's a testimony that, you know, you can, you know, leave all these difficulties in your life, but, you know, and have a fulfilled, you know, a very successful and fulfilled life. But it takes people to give you opportunities. You know, all these people that've been supporting us, it's just because they believed in us, they believed in myself, and they believed in my leadership, and the fact that the World Economic Forum nominated me as the only Senegalese woman in tech. It's just because they understood that, you know, someone needs to make a difference. And what I'm doing right now, going around the world, is telling the world, you know, we need more Mariam Jams out there, you know, coming to global stages, sharing their stories. But also we need to eradicate poverty. We need to really look after these people. We need to, it's a moral imperative to, you know, reduce child trafficking. You know, rape issues, so many global issues that, you know, we are forgetting as, you know, as privileged people. And I think we can't build a fair society if we don't take care of our people. That's the message I'm just trying to use through technology and innovation and tell the world they need to change.
Well, your story is also remarkable to me because you didn't have any formal education. And that was not an inhibiting factor. So strong was your personality and your drive to succeed. For a lot of people in South Africa where we have challenges around education, and there may be people who hear this and think, I don't have a degree, a master's degree, a PhD, there's no hope for me to enter a world of technology. That's not true.
That's not true, and it's absolutely not true, because I didn't have certificates. The reason why I started coding and learning and teaching myself how to code, because I tried to find jobs, and the only job I could have was cleaning jobs and working in bars and hotels and doing 80 bed per day in 9 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And so I realized that I could do something, I could do better. I couldn't read my alphabet when I was 16 years old. That's where I learned how to read and write. But at one stage I realized that, I could do better. The United Kingdom gave me a safe environment. I was safe. I could think. I could go to the library. I had a library card. I could sit down by myself, and even if I couldn't understood the wordings, I could memorize and understand, and also get sick from the library, person to help me. And I think when I realized I didn't have certificates, I went to try to find a job. The lady said to me, "I'm really sorry, you're really good at customer service, but actually don't have any certificates." I couldn't upskill myself. I couldn't go and work for a bank, for example, or do more work. And the lady said to me, "But you're very good at Excel." And so I tried to use very specific skills that I was good at. I was really good at starting to be good at numbers and mathematics. So if you want to learn how to code, you need to understand mathematics, geometry, algebra. It's very logical thinking. Taught myself at the library, and I bought the first Excel for Dummies, HTML for Dummies, and started reading and writing. Very academic, very focused, because I couldn't work. I didn't want to fake my diplomas. I didn't want to put myself in a position where, I'll be found out. And then that's how I learned. And so I started HTML, then went to Java, C++, Python. So today I'm the best Python coder in my company, because I just realized that I needed a skill. And this is what we need to tell people, and the government, the private sector, and investors, that when people are not skilled, they can't do the job.
How do you approach something like coding? I mean, you've given us a very brief and very succinct overview of how you progressed from kind of doing very basic things like Excel to HTML coding to all the way to Python. But surely for the average person who doesn't know how this works, this is a very intimidating thing to approach from almost any angle. Was it hard to learn?
It is. You're right, it is. And we had to decode. This is, I think, language is also very important. And when we talk about coding, when we talk about coding here, for your listeners, we talk about digital literacy. That's what we're talking about here. And the decoding the information is also important for the marginalized community, so they don't feel intimidated. And also for women and girls who are thinking going to computer science, for example, or even editing a very simple video. And so we need to decode the information for the marginalized communities and people who want to get into this sector. That's number one. And number two is we need to really use the language. As coding, when we say coding, we just mean, use a logical thinking of developing an application. And it's a programming language. And so, you start with HTML, which is the basic language everybody starts with. And you go to CSS. And when you're good, you go to C++, which are core languages you need to know. And today in the world, Python is the first top language coding you need to understand. That's how you build your website. That's how you build e-commerce sites. And major companies like apps, and for example, in the podcasting sector, people use Ruby, for example, to build applications. And so they are really, we need to decode the information, meaning so giving access to people.
It's not just learning another language, spoken language or written language. For many people, it's also a means of economically empowering yourself. Because once you can understand these languages, you can develop trade networks. You can start to set up, even in the most illiterate, uneducated communities, you can start setting up means for people, because most of us will have smartphones, if we don't already, in the next 10 years in Africa.
And we need to leverage the African mobile penetration, for example.
Right, and connect people. And this is a great way for everybody to become connected.
And technology is not for the rich, it's not for white, it's not for black, it's not for everyone. As long as you have access, you have access to. And I think that's what we're trying to say. That if we arrived here today, coding and sitting down in Mombasa or sitting down in Soweto, anyone can do it. But if we don't give people access or even believe in them and tell them, hey, here is a computer kit, like we do with our girls in Uganda and Senegal, in the most marginalized places in the world, Nepal, Brazil, where young girls are looking at coding for the first time in their lives. And this is an opportunity. When you give a girl our programs, when you get them in, you see a life-changing opportunity. But also we need to link all the work we do through culture, content,
right,
and technology.
It's devolving. Absolutely. It's available.
Absolutely. Exactly. And we can't exclude people anymore, because for many, many decades, there has been a lifetime exclusion, and only few people, as William said, only few people have access. But technology is now open to anyone, and we need to allow people to have access, especially marginalized communities, vulnerable communities, understand climate change issues, but link technology to content.
It's truly an emancipating tool.
We begin by giving access, again, like if you go to Nepal, for example, where child trafficking is absolutely huge. And for example, we organize hackathons, podcasting, information. Our role is to educate and inform. I become, accidentally an educator and an informant, because I really think that we need to start educating, informing, especially the private sector who will be hiring these people tomorrow. Marginalized communities, when you are poor, I think what the world don't understand, poor people like us grow up to be on world stages. No one have never predicted Mariam Jean will be speaking at Davos. No one have predicted all this stuff will happen, speaking, becoming United Nations Tech Ambassador. It's because everything takes time. And I think sometimes we don't invest, we don't envisage, we don't look at the long term, because we only think that poor people, they're so poor, we're not going to help them anymore. But once you put time and efforts for young girls like me, I'm 43 years old now. In 2030, I'll be 56 years old. And that will be a massive journey. But also look into latest year, who's following my steps, in slums in Brazil, in Argentina, places where girls have no voice, in Somaliland, in Somalia, where there are Muslim girls who, without I am the code, they end up, end up being victim of female, genital mutilation. And so these are the core issues society should address. And technology must address these issues. If we really care, if you want to have the values and ethic and the morals, we should address core issues to change society.
The CV that you have is very impressive. You've worked with a lot of people. I saw the Obama administration. You've consulted to various tech companies, Spot One Global Solutions. I was drawn to the most boring Prime Minister of British history, Gordon and Sarah Brown. What did you do with them?
Well, Gordon and Sarah are doing amazing work on education. I think that's why sometimes we need people. Yes, they may not be successful in government, but Gordon Brown is one of the biggest tech education ambassador right now across the world. And recently he's been calling for the Paradise Papers for people to start, the tax evasion. Tax evasion, is affecting education systems across the world, because we're not actually investing. And we need to make a difference between schooling and education. At the moment, the global world, they think they can just put a young girl in a box, in a school, follow a curriculum, and that's it for her. That's not true. And when you start with making differentiation between schooling a child and educating a child, and in putting a money in there, and you change this young girl's life. We don't educate the girls. We don't school them. We give them an alternative education. Come to our code clubs in Uganda or Senegal or Madagascar. Learn a different language where no one could give you this before. And so Gordon and Sarah Brown, I understand, the political issues here, but they are really pushing for girls' education, and now we are adding technology on that.
Does it frustrate you as much as it does me when I hear people who talk a talk about this? They occupy the world stage and they use women or girls as their virtue signal point, and they get up there and they talk about this stuff, but when it comes to actually doing these things back home, they aren't doing what you're doing. You're actually facilitating these programs. You've got a huge number of girls who you've already brought through the program, who you've probably already placed in jobs all over the world, in NGOs, in places of influence. But these people that I'm talking about, particularly in government, are the ones who love to talk about it because it makes them sound like they're doing something. But they do nothing for women.
You are absolutely right. I mean, no, you are totally right. And I think this is why it's also important for the listeners to understand.
Absolutely.
We can't use the sound bites. We talk about the life of people here. Ladies here exist. Aisha exists in Senegal, so they are human beings that exist. And so without investing in them, you fail them. And so the soundbite, and for many years, we use young women as objects of development in Africa. because it's nice on reports. It's nice when you talk about girls' education. And then we now have the tendency of talking about STEM at the same time. And you have the soundbite, fourth industry revolution, STEM, whatever. And this is, that's why it's, your job is so important that we educate people that they don't need to follow the soundbites. And coding is the same. When they talk about coding, they talk about digital literacy. And they are failing for many years, and I've been saying this for many times. We have been failing young girls around the world in educating them, in giving them information. When I say educating, it's putting a content in a young girl's head that can help her become a better person tomorrow. We're not doing this, and we have millions, billions of dollars being invested in tax evasion. We're not investing in schools. We're not giving girls any opportunities. And so we can't really build a society that is fair moving forward without doing this. And so that's why we can't go through the sound bites. That's why we need to disrupt the market, having events like this where we disrupt the conversation.
And technology will allow us to find ways of making the world fairer that don't have to involve governments, that don't have to involve the systems that you're born into. No. You can break out of that as you did.
Exactly.
And you're a shining example, and we thank you for all the hard work that you're doing, not only here on this continent of ours, where you mentioned on stage, you know, South Africans have got to stop thinking that they are the only thing on this continent that matters. We've got a bit of a problem in that respect, and I know.
I hope I didn't offend anybody.
No, 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 but it's right. And particularly there's this division between Francophone and Anglophone Africa, which we need to mend. And it's not going to happen from the AU. It's going to happen from the ground up.
Yeah, and it's going to also happen through the information like you guys are doing, informing people, educating people. Our people need to be informed. Information is key. And that's why talking about artificial intelligence, this is going to be the biggest investment in the continent. And the more we have podcasts informing our people, educating them, the more their minds are opened as well.
Well, congratulations with I Am The Code. That is that's the beginning. And for all the women that you've already helped and the many that you will still help, I hope that we can rely on you, and you can certainly rely on us to spread the message.
Thank you. I'm very honored. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Mariam Jam, who is the award-winning Senegalese British technologist and the founder of I Am The Code, among other things, doing what she can to spread science, mathematics, engineering, technology down the chain to all of the girls who we tend to think of last when it comes to these things, and who certainly don't have the kind of representation they should in all of these fields. Thank you, Marianne.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
This is CliffCentral.com.